This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I don't see you because I guess the light is shining in my face. So, but that's fine, as long as you can see me. Kamar woke you up, so it's my turn to put you to sleep. And I'm very confident in doing that. I have 25 minutes to talk to you about the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'll probably share with you the structure of my talk, so that if you get lost in the middle of the talk, you know what the talk is about. I will first address the scope of the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then I will address the question of whether this mercy applies also to non-Muslims, or it is only limited to his ummah. And then I will talk about some of the acts of the Prophet ﷺ, some of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ that may sound, or seem, or may be perceived by others as counter to the mercy that we're talking about, or contradictory with how we describe the Prophet ﷺ, or portray the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will see how they are not. They are part of that mercy. Everything that he said and everything that he did is part of this mercy, which was the ultimate objective of his ministry or his mission. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Just remember this verse, memorize this verse, and repeat it. Because you're being bombarded by false information, misconceptions that aim to lead you away from this conviction. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except as a mercy to the worlds, not just to mankind, but to the worlds in plural. And what that means is that the Prophet ﷺ was a mercy sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not limited for mankind, but for the animals, the plants, the universe. And we will see what that means. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except as a mercy to the worlds. Is a verse in Surah Al-Anbiya, that is chapter number 21, verse number 107. Repeat this verse, memorize it, and get yourself convinced with it. Read the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, read about the Prophet ﷺ until you do not have a shred of doubt about the meanings and the implications of this verse. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So the scope of the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you begin from his teachings about the family, for instance, if you talk about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about the mother, or how you should treat your mother. Ibn Majah reports from Muawiyah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he came to the Prophet and said to him, I would like to enlist with you in jihad, to go out with you for jihad. And I want to do this sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the hereafter. So this is someone who is determined to go out on an expedition with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of Allah and for the hereafter, not seeking anything. Could you imagine anything would be greater than this? Would be better than this, to lose your soul in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will talk about how this very jihad is part of the mercy, universal mercy, that is the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this would be something that is matchless. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, وَيْحَكَ أَلَكَ أُمٌ حَيَّةٌ. Do you have a mother who's living? Woe unto you. Do you have a mother who is alive? And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, yes. And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَالْزَمْهَا فَالْزَمْهَا فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ عِنَّ تَمَيْهَا فِي رَوَيْكُ النَّسَائِ فَالْزَمْهَا. Then stick to her, stay with her, for the Jannah is beneath her feet. Or in the riwayat of Nimaja, فَالْزَمْ رِجْلَيْهَا فَسَمَّ الْجَنَّةِ. Stay by her feet, for there is the Jannah. For the Jannah is there by her feet. So he told them, give her companionship with mercy, kindness, and humility by her feet. Stay by her feet, for the Jannah is there. For the grandmother, the Prophet ﷺ made her just like the mother, and gave her inheritance, and the mother was not alive. For the aunt, the Prophet ﷺ gave her the same status of the mother. And Bukhari and Muslim reported from Ali radiallahu anhu that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Khalatu bi manzilati al-walida. The aunt, particularly the maternal aunt in this hadith, bi manzilati al-walida, has the same position of the mother, has the same status as the mother. For the wife, the Prophet ﷺ told us, in a hadith reported by Tirmidhi from Aisha radiallahu anha, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ أَخْلَاقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. Or he said, أَلْطَفُهُمْ بِأَهْلِهِ. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ is the most perfect person in faith, is the most perfect person in conduct. And then he said that the best of you are those who are kindest or most gentle towards their wives. Those who are most gentle, most kind towards their wives. For the daughter, the Prophet taught us, as reported by Bukhari or reported by Muslim, the Prophet said, "Man ana jariyatayni," was reported by Muslim, rahimahullah. He said, "Man ana jariyatayni, jaa yawm al-qiyamati ana wa huwa wa dhamma isba'i." Whoever takes care of two girls, he will come on the day of judgment. He and I will be like this. He and I will be like this. And he pointed, or he brought together. In this hadith, he brought together his two fingers, the middle finger and the index. So he brought them together and he said that whoever takes care of two girls, you know the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever takes care of three girls, there will be a barrier or a protection or a shield for him from the hellfire, or they will shield him from the hellfire. And they said to him, what about two? And he said, and two. And then they said to him, what about one? And he said, and one. Even one would protect him, would shield him from the hellfire. For the family in general, the Prophet ﷺ taught us to be merciful to our families to the point where he said, as a Bukhari and Muslim reported from Jubayr ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِرٌ. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِرٌ. The one who cuts off the ties of kinship will not enter paradise. The one who cuts off. The qatir is that color, meaning the color of the ties of kinship. The one who cuts off the ties of kinship will not enter paradise. And it was not only limited to the family, but it was also about the people in general. But the Prophet ﷺ told us to treat people with mercy, all people in general. For the neighbor, for instance. And you know, the hadith of the neighbor do not particularly say the Muslim neighbor. They just talk about the neighbor. In general, they talk about the neighbor. Muslim reported from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقًا. He will not enter paradise, he whose neighbor does not feel safe or is not safe from his injustice or inequity or wrongdoing. If your neighbor does not feel safe from your iniquity or wrongdoing, you will not enter paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ did not particularly say your Muslim neighbor in this hadith. Moreover, it was not just only about keeping to yourself. You need to extend kindness to your neighbor. It's not only about, you know, keeping your harm away from your neighbor, but the Hakim reported with a sound chain of narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ وَجَارُهُ إِلَى جَنْبِهِ جَاءَ. It is not a believer, he who feeds the folk, or, you know, who's satisfied, or he who's well fed, or he who eats to his fill, and his neighbor is next to him hungry, or his neighbor spends the night next to him hungry. So he who eats to his fill and his neighbor is hungry, the Prophet ﷺ said that this is not a believer. لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي يَشْبَعْ وَجَارُهُ إِلَى جَنْبِهِ جَاءَ. It was also about the people in general, particularly the weak among the people, the weak sectors of the society, the weak groups of the society. Who would be weak in the society? The orphans, you know, the servants, you know, people of lower socioeconomic classes, people who don't have status, prestige, position in the society. Those are the weak in every society. And it varies from one society to another. People who do not have particular allegiance to, you know, powerful tribe, all of those are the weak people of the society. And the Prophet ﷺ, you know, told this in a hadith, and this is about the ummah collectively, about the community collectively. He told us in a hadith reported by Tabarani from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُقَدِّسُ أُمَّةً لَا يُعْطُونَ الضَّعِيفَ مِنْهُمْ حَقَّهُ. أو different variations of this hadith, but this is a very powerful statement. Allah will never honor a nation. Allah will never give glory or honor a nation that does not retrieve the rights of the poor or the weak for him, or that does not give the weak his due rights. In fact, Bayhaqi reported from Buraydah radiallahu anhu a different variation of this very hadith, in which the Prophet marveled that the people who think otherwise, who think that Allah may honor a nation that does not give the weak their due rights. He said, كَيْفَ يُقَدِّسُ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً لَا يُعْطُونَ الضَّعِيفَ حَقَّهُ غَيْرَ مُتَعْتَلِينَ. How could Allah honor a nation or give glory to a nation when the weak among them cannot claim his rights or cannot retrieve his rights? For the orphan, the Prophet ﷺ told us, as the Bukhari reported from Sa'd ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, أَنَا وَكَافِرُ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I am the one who takes care of the orphan, will be like this in paradise, will be like this in paradise. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in a hadith also, that is the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari reported by Bukhari, ثَلَاثَةٌ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And he made three people will be given the reward twice. One of those three people is a person who had a female slave, and he taught her, and he instructed her in culture and arts, and he emancipated her, and he married her. So the Prophet ﷺ said that he would be given his reward twice. And yes, that was in the past, and we're done with this. And Islam put together a very effective way of bringing the communities from this ailment that the human community suffered from for long. But it is a marvelous system that Islam put together to rid the communities from this ailment. But even before the community got rid of this ailment completely, the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ concerning that sector of the community, who is the weakest sector of the community, who are also most youthful. Then we have the question, and then we keep on talking about, you know, the mercy that the Prophet taught us. But this was not limited. Allah said, "Wa arsalnaka ila rahmatan lil alamin," for the words. This was not limited. Was not limited to human beings. Was not limited to human beings. It was even about the animals. You know, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked into a stable of camels, and he saw a particular camel, and the camel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stood by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and confided something into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked away, and he said, "Who's the owner of that camel? Who is the owner of that camel?" And someone from Al-Ansar, a boy from Al-Ansar, or like a young man from Al-Ansar, said, "I am the owner of the camel, O Messenger of Allah." And then the Prophet said to him, "أَفَلَا تَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي هَذِهِ الْبَهِيمَةِ فَإِنَّهُ شَكَى لِي أَنَّكَ تُجِيعُهُ وَتُدْئِبُهُ." And this hadith was authentically reported by Abu Dawood, rahimahullah. So, أَفَلَا تَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, don't you fear Allah concerning this beast? It complained to me, the camel complained to me, and certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of all things. So could the camel talk to the Prophet? Absolutely. So the Imam was able to hear the ants and was able to, you know, speak to the birds and understand the language of the birds. So it is very, very possible that the Prophet, who is the best of mankind, and certainly much greater than Sulaiman, we don't say this to boast, we say this to acknowledge the fact. The Prophet ﷺ was certainly capable of, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand the camel, or the complaint of the camel. It complained to me that you keep it hungry and that you overburden it. تُدْعِبُهُ يَعْنِي تُدْعِبُ, and that you overburden it. However, the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, in which the Prophet showed us how to treat animals, how to treat birds. He saw a bird that is lamenting over the loss of her chicks in the nest, and then he said, "Man faja'a hadhihi biwaladiha," and in some reports, "Mal'un man faja'a hadhihi biwaladiha," may he be cursed who caused her to grieve over her chicks. The bird, the little bird, may he be cursed who caused the little bird to grieve over her chicks, because someone stole them, someone took them away. It did not even stop at the animals, and there are so many, many, many reports about how, you know, the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ towards animals and the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the animals. But even when it comes to al-jamadat, inanimate objects, not living things, just objects, the Prophet ﷺ showed great mercy to objects. To the point where after the Battle of Uhud, when he feared that the Sahaba may have hard feelings towards the mountain of Uhud, you know, they would be defeated by the mountain of Uhud or on the mountain of Uhud, and then they may harbor bad feelings for the mountain of Uhud. An object, rocks, the Prophet told them, "Uhud un jabal yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu." Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his minbar done for him, prior to this, he used to have a trunk of a tree. He used to have a trunk of a tree that he would lean on the trunk of the tree when he was giving his Friday sermon or his sermons in general. And then they made the minbar for him, and then he started to use the minbar, and he left that trunk alone. Or, you know, now that he's using a minbar, he's not going by the trunk of that tree anymore. And then Anas says, فَحَمْنَ حَنِينَ النَّاقَ. Anas told us that this trunk of the tree wailed or whined or whimpered or cried like a camel, she camel. And then the Prophet saw someone came down from his minbar, walked toward the trunk of the tree. This is the report of Ahmad has a little bit of an addition. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, but Ahmad's report has a little addition where he said, the report of the Tirmidhi, فَمَسَّهَا فَسَكَنَ, But the report of Ahmad fahtadaraha fasakana. So the Prophet hugged the trunk of the tree, and then it calmed down, and then it calmed down. And this was reported to us authentically from the most truthful generation, the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even with inanimate objects, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhibited mercy and showed us how to be merciful towards the environment, the entire environment. Now the question that people may ask is this mercy only for his ummah, or it is also for the people in general? Did we not say in the beginning, "Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin"? It is not even about mankind only; it's about all kinds, all worlds. Certainly, it is for the people at large. Yes, he did have particular, intense love for his ummah and concern for his ummah. Absolutely, most certainly. The Prophet ﷺ was concerned for his ummah all the time, to the point Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As tells us that when the Prophet ﷺ would recite, "In tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk, wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka anta al-azizul hakim, faman ittaba'ani fa huwa minni, wa man asani fa innaka ghafurur rahim." Whether it's the statement of Isa, the first statement, or the statement of Ibrahim, "In tu'adhibhum, if you torment them, they are your servants, and if you forgive them, you are the Almighty, the All-Wise." Or when Ibrahim said, "Whoever follows me, then he is from me, and whoever disobeys me, you are the merciful, the oft forgiving." Then when the Prophet ﷺ remembered that he will also be a witness against his own ummah, he cried and cried, and he raised his hands up and he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ummati, Ummati." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to him and he said to him, "Ma yubkika ya Muhammad?" Ask Muhammad what is causing him to cry. "Ma yubkika ya Muhammad?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I have concern about my ummah." And then Allah told the Jibreel, "Idhhab ila Muhammad faqul lahu, inna allaha sayurdika, inna allaha sayurdika fi ummatika wala yasu'uka fiha." Allah will please you concerning your ummah and will not cause you distress about your ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cause you grief concerning your ummah. Allah will please you concerning your ummah. He did the same thing. He would cry every time. He would remember that there would come generations of his ummah after him who have not seen him, and then they would encounter challenges in their faith and challenges through their lives, and he would not be there to comfort them as he did with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim, and to give them strength and to empower them as he did with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim. When he recited, when the verse is recited, "فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَئِنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجَئِنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا" Surah An-Nisa, how about when we bring a witness against every nation and we bring you as a witness against this nation? He also cried when he thought of his position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnessing against his own ummah. But that was certainly not limited to the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Abu Dawood reported from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, for instance, said, "Ala man zalama mu'ahidan aw intaqasahu aw kallakahu ma la yutiq aw akhadha shay'an minhu min ghayri thib nafsin, all of this fa'ana hajiduhu yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever wrongs a man under covenant with the Muslims. A man under covenant is a mu'ahid, contracting man, a man under covenant, a man, a peaceful person who is in a covenant with the Muslims. that is the mu'ahad, whoever wrongs a mu'ahad, or dishonors him, or overburdens him with work, or takes anything away from him without his full pleasure, I shall be his disputant, his opponent, his disputant on the day of judgment. So, many hadith in which the Prophet من قتل معاهدا, when the Prophet talked about, you know, the killing of the mu'ahid, the person under covenant, the Prophet said the punishment for this, but he said, لم يرح رائحة الجنة, he will not smell the odor or the fragrance of paradise, which could be found from a distance of 40 the march covered in 40 days, or a 40-day march. So, and many such a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ told us about the evil of being unjust or being unfair to the mu'ahidi, من أذر ذميًا فقد أذاني ومن أذاني فقد أذى الله, and has been reported with a questionable authenticity by Tabarani, Khatib, من أذى ذميًا فأنا خصيمه, with questionable authenticity as well, but they have a lot of corroborative reports that corroborate the meaning and support it. Whoever hurts a peaceful, you know, under covenant, a Muslim, that is under covenant, hurts me personally, and whoever hurts me hurts Allah, and so on and so forth. But this was about the non-Muslims who are under covenant, because whenever we talk about non-Muslims, we lump them all together as if they are one thing. But it's different, many, many different shades, many different layers. So this is about the people who are under covenant, even with the enemies that were fighting the Prophet ﷺ, he still had mercy for them. Allah taught us this, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا, and they give food to the captive, the poor, the captive, to the poor, the orphan, and the captive. The captive cannot be a Muslim, right? The captive is a non-Muslim, and they give food despite their need, despite their desire for it, to those. And the Prophet ﷺ told us, فُقُّ الْعَانِي, as Bukhari and Muslim reported from Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, free the captives, and those captives are the enemies that were just fighting against us yesterday. And many, many other such examples of the mercy that was shown to the non-Muslims, when, you know, the different layers, different shades of non-Muslims, those who are peaceful, those who are friendly, you will never, they should never outdo us in kindness. They should never outdo us in gentleness. They should never outdo us in generosity. And تَبَرُّهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, that you show them bir and qist. The bir is a layer that is much higher than qist, which is justice. Bir is kindness, generosity, liberality, and so on and so forth. Now, we will probably not be able to address contradictions or the things that may seem to be contradictory to this. Jihad, severity of punishment, things of that nature. But what I want you to be sure and confident of is that the overarching principle in all of this is mercy. So the Prophet exhibited mercy and taught mercy in every case, in every situation, with everybody, unless that mercy means injustice to somebody else. Because do all nations of this world have armies or not? Historically, all nations, you know, were involved at some point in their history in some fighting or not. There is justifiable and unjustifiable, warranted and unwarranted. but if you allow the evil to prevail, is this merciful? If you allow people to deceive the Muslims, if you allow, you know, for instance, if you allow a certain group of people to allow the Confederates to come from their side and attack the Muslims after we have agreed that we will protect the Medina and we will, you know, have the trench sort of encompass the Medina from all sides except this side, because this is your side that you need to protect. And then when that particular group agrees with the Confederates that came to wipe out the Muslims, agrees with them to come from their side, to tell them that we'll allow you to come from our side so that you can come into the Medina and wipe out the Muslims, so that that will be a massive massacre of the Muslims. Then if the Prophet ﷺ forgave those people afterwards, doesn't this embolden other people to repeat the same thing to the Muslims and to do the same thing over and over? In this case, it will defeat the ultimate objective of mercy for all. Because when you exude mercy towards this particular person, when you exude mercy towards a murderer, a rapist, for instance, when you exhibit mercy towards a rapist, that would encourage others to repeat the same offense. Is it merciful? No, it is not. Because mercy for the individual here is at the expense of the general mercy for the group, for the generality for the community at large, for the generality of mankind. That is, these are the only times where the Prophet ﷺ showed firmness, when mercy was counterproductive to the general, when mercy in that particular scenario or incident was counterproductive to the general objective of mercy for all, with which he was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the final messenger to humanity. Qul huwallahu ahad, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.